Blog Talk Radio.
Saeed Dibenga coming live and direct from earthquake-prone Los Angeles. Hope you guys are doing well. That's End of the Journey by Harry Stewart. It's actually a song that was performed in the movie Cadence. I actually came across that song by accident when I was looking for something else. And the song has really, it was sung live in the movie itself, directed by Martin Sheen, starring Charlie Sheen and Emilia Estevez and Lawrence Fishburne. But the funny thing about it, not funny, ha-ha, but the strange thing about it is that the guy who sings it isn't a professional musician or artist. He was met on the street by Martin Sheen, who said, hey, do you want to be in the film? And he appeared in the film, sang this song. But no one knows whatever happened to this guy. It's like there's words going around that he's homeless and people know what's up. Apparently, he never had the song published. So no one really knows who this guy is. But the thing is, that song has so many people to this day. I mean, if you go on YouTube and things like that, I don't think this guy is aware of how many people have been affected by that song. And, you know, I open up this show. Usually I do our regular intro, but I want to open up this show with a little spiritual song since it is Easter Sunday. I think it's winding down for a lot of people. This is a continuation of our show from earlier today, Friends of the Congo. Are they really? This is part two. And we got a lot of email questions that I wasn't able to get to before that we will get to within this hour. And what we're also going to do is towards the end of the show, or maybe somewhere in the middle, I'm going to announce some events coming up. An event taking place in Miami, and I believe there's another event taking place in Florida. And there's also another event, a conference taking place in May in Washington, D.C., that relates to conflict minerals and things like that. So we'll talk about that shortly. So, but let's go back to our proper entrance, if folks don't mind. Everybody seems to enjoy the intro music that we have. So let's take it away. We have Joelle in the house helping out, doing a great job. Here we go. We are back. And again, people, we're going to open up with a couple of questions here that we emailed our last show. A lot of questions, ironically, and I to know that a lot of people realized I was not a Taosi. They realized it was very even based. Yes, I have my opinions, obviously, as I would in relation to Congo. And I think sometimes you have to state your opinion and base it on facts or what have you, because facts, you know, the truth cannot be denied, and the truth will see sunlight no matter what people may say otherwise. So our group today, we're going to do about 35 minutes left. Joelle actually crumpled about six questions here. And what I want to do is I want to open up with a statement, a presentation that a Congolese made during Congo Week in Harlem this past 2009, as we continue on our part two of Friends of the Congo, Are They Really? And the gentleman made some very interesting statements. His name is Petna Ndoligo, advocate for the culture for DRC for some time. I know of him. We've never conversed personally, but I've known of him for some time. And I want you to hear the words he has stated during a panel session for Week in Harlem. I believe this took place after a screening of the movie, which I do not have at this moment. All right, so here we go.
We are having the new mercenaries, and these are NGOs, people. They're causing much more problem in the future. As we're talking today about King Leopold, those are the new King Leopold. Soon or later, we will see what will come out. People there, I remember in Butembo, people said, we don't need your food. What we need is peace. Please go back. They are coming and teaching people how to stay dependent. Yet people over there used to work for themselves. So it's like today, and you know, they behave in a so funny way that if there is too short in the air, all the NGO people, they run back to Goma in their beautiful cars and beautiful houses, you know, and you will see the entire village will follow them because they taught the villagers not anymore to go in their farm and farm. They are bringing everything to them, and they know that in the camp you will get much more food than back in the village. And how will you come with your message as a Congolese who is conscious about what is going on? How will you come with your message and tell them, please, you know what? Things are not going the way they're supposed to go. Things are going the wrong way.
Now, that was the words. Let me see if I can do a little mix here that Joelle is working on. That was the word, Petna, if I can pronounce his last name, it's Petna Ndilikina. It was words during Congo Week in Harlem back in 2009. I like what he's saying. You know, if you don't hear the, oh, woe is me, we're poor little Congolese suffering into the bush and being raped to oblivion and being exploited to oblivion and being, you know, shot to oblivion. He's stating what the issue is. But you notice who he's talking about. He's talking about the NGO, the non-governmental organizations. We have a caller, 727-460-9773. Come to you in one moment. We're switching lines here. So bear with me, brother. Bear with me. Or sister, if that is you. We'll come to you in one moment. Well, you hear what he's talking about. And you hear what he's saying. But let's take our caller. I don't like our people waiting. Hold on for one moment here. If we can get this right. Caller, 727-460-9773. How are you? You're on air. Talk to me.
Hello. I just want to say I absolutely love the show. I listen to your show every single time it's on. But I just wanted to know, are you a fan of or a supporter, as I should say, of the one and only President Obama?
Who, President Obama?
You betcha.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a friend in terms of I don't know him personally, but you know I have support for some of his policies, and I don't support some of his policies. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, for me, is there anything specific you want to talk about?
I couldn't agree with you more. I support some of his policies, but the others, it just makes him out to be one of the worst presidents to go down in history.
Wow, it should be very interesting to find that out, because how long is his term left? It's about, what, 2 years? Or two and a half years, you think?
Two and a half years, about left.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think he'll run again and be reelected?
Absolutely not. I think we are in for a hailstorm. A hailstorm
mm-hmm.
like the Sahara Desert.
And I know what you mean by that kind of storm. Let me share something with you, if I may. Before when he was running for office, a lot of people, because of his father being Kenyan, were saying that his policy towards Africa would be different. But then a think tank in D.C. that's nonpartisan compared his policy that was towards Africa to John McCain's policy towards Africa. And they came to the conclusion that both their policies, there's no difference. It's both the same, that things wouldn't change, that the status quo would be maintained. What is your feeling on that?
I don't know. I think some of his policies are very, very different than the John McCain.
I personally
love John McCain, even though what some people did say.
Right. He's a maverick, and at least you know he's true. You know, the one thing about John McCain, I have to say, beyond the fact that he is a maverick, did you see the speech he gave the night when he was conceding the election to President Obama, how eloquent he spoke that night?
Yes, I did. I did indeed.
Oh, great speech. Great speech. So, caller, we have some more folks calling in. I want to thank you for taking the time, not just to listen, but to call up.
I absolutely despise Africa.
Oh, yeah? Well, what can you do? Take care. I groove here. Now, let's see. We were talking about Petna. Oh, you should see Joella's face over there in the corner. She's over there cracking up. She's like, wait, this guy despises Africa. Hey, some people don't like Africa. Some people love Africa. Some people don't like the United States. Some people love the United States. Some people love Iran. Some people despise Iran. So what can you do? You only take with a grain of salt. If it doesn't affect your movement, if it doesn't affect the direction you're going, you just take with a grain of salt. You say thank you and you move on. Now, back to what Petna was talking about in reference to the NGOs, and I think it's something that's not really talked about. He's looking at the people that's inside Congo that are making money off the culture. That the NGOs are running around their nice SUVs, their nice little house, all the security and things like that. But he says it in a way where he's not saying it's a victim. What he's saying is that these people, not these people like this, separate from us, it's Congolese, but what he is saying is that a lot of the people don't realize or aren't aware that they're being led down a road of being dependent on themselves. And that's just not the culture in the East. That's just not the culture, contrary to what people may think. Even when you hear people talk about the elections, they want to say the West installed President Kabila, the British installed President Kabila, the United States installed President Kabila. Like the Congolese didn't vote. Like they were just standing out there saying hello, you know, we're just coming by with our voter's registration card. We have no interest. And I think that's a very, very dangerous statement to make. And I think it's borderline condescending, if not neocolonial, to say that the Congolese are just laying there and letting anybody that wants to be president be installed as president. Because a lot of us have it on good authority that many people voted. Were there irregularities? Yes, there was. But were the irregularities as egregious as Paul Kagame getting 95% of the vote in Rwanda, even though he's a minority within a minority by being an English-speaking Tutsi? Then they said you don't hear no outcry over that. So coming back to the brother, I like what he had to say in reference to the NGOs. There are some NGOs doing things. But when you think about, like, the City of Hope, as I said on the previous show, and one of my colleagues had articulated earlier, where are the women supposed to go when they leave this City of Hope, of which no one has actually really seen a picture of this place? Jill, have you seen this place? But anyways, we continue. That, again, was a statement of reference to he's talking about what the Congolese are being subjected to in some parts of the country. And he's talking about it's not the West, it's the NGOs in the country itself. That would be Ben Affleck. Let's go to another statement here that Joella assembled for me from the same, I believe, the same panel. These are the words from a brother named Joseph Mbangu, fine gentleman, very proactive when it comes to the culture, went back to Congo some time ago, took some glorious pictures. I mean, he just was doing his thing. I met him when I was in New York for our Congo Memorial. He came by, I think he came by a little late towards the end, but we did converse. And he's always been about the Congo. And I believe this is on the same panel as the previous speaker. So let's hear his words in reference to what he's saying. This is during the Congo Week in Harlem in 2009. Let's see what Joseph Mbangu has to say.
As a Congolese, when I look at all this development, I just gonna say a word. You feel powerless. It's the sense of powerless that is pretty much animating a lot of Congolese today. People are asking, what can we do? What's going on? People don't understand what's happening. When minerals are being, you know, traded into places like Toronto or here in Wall Street, there are no Congolese there. And something that was pointed out in the film was the very, very lack of experience of the new government that just came on in power, didn't have any experience, and the deal, the negotiations in the signing of the contract went in the sense that the people who knew how to handle this kind of stuff got the major part of the cake. So, yeah, there's a powerlessness, and also there's also this other aspect that is characterizing not only the Congo, but is also characterizing most of the countries sort of surrounding the Congo, which is people who have studied are barely in power. So, you take all the 9 countries surrounding the Congo, you see it's only soldiers. And when I say soldiers, most of these people, they rule by the gun. So these are people that have been placed in power by the West to maintain the majority of the population into discipline, some sort of keep them in line. So these are the problems that are facing Africa, and some of the questions that I ask myself, what can I do to change things. It's only now, barely now, that we have the Kambales, we have myself, we have other Congolese that are trying to put some resistance. Of course, with the help of all of our friends, who are trying to, of course, help us find a solution, put a term to this this situation. But the big question is, are we going to keep pushing, or are we going to forget, just like it happened with Ed Morrell and Kaepernick at that time? So what can keep, how can we keep the momentum from going, and how can we make things such as, because there's a mistake, people believe that it's the outside world that's going to save the Congo. It's the Congolese people themselves that are going to save their country. So that's a very key point that, of course, when I think about all these questions, the answer remains to be found.
Hey, here the two words, there's two things that stuck out again. Joseph Mbangu, now that's a Congolese who's worthy of being called Congolese because he's just about the culture. And I mean, again, we met briefly in New York. We had a memorial last year down there in Manhattan, and we'll be back there again this year, I believe in November. And he spoke on two points. We're not going away from our show today being about Friends of the Congo. I'm weaving in some perspective here so you understand the foundation of the show, so that it's not an attack on the FOC. It's to show that there are other lines of thought and action when it comes to the DRC that are just as progressive. You may not agree with them, I may not agree with them, but when it goes down, hear what he said. He talked about powerlessness and what can I do? And powerlessness and what can I do? When the problem is made to be so complex, so vast, so deep, and so wide, you feel helpless, you feel powerless, you don't know what to do. And I think it is very interesting if you think back, if you sit back and you look at the situation in Congo. Can we have another interview I'd like to put up also, another few statements I'd like to put up, where from two countries, Rwanda and Uganda, invaded Congo, to now it's about the rapes. Not saying the rapes aren't of importance, but to the rapes. To people saying what we don't want, what we don't want to see this, we don't want to see that. But when you talk to a Congolese who has love for the culture, love for the country, and puts the country before themselves, you get someone like Joseph Mbangu who will say, powerlessness, what can I do? Many people, a lot of Congolese, they're seeing these people with guns, machines, you know, weapons and money, all these things. They're seeing all these people coming and going, but their lot in life hasn't changed. Not all of Congo. Congo used to be like the Paris of Africa, you know, like Lebanon in the Middle East. Let's not get it twisted now, all right? People have looked at Congo and know the wealth. But when you're a Congolese in some parts of the country, you have no electricity, you have number two batteries, and you see a power line above you going to Zimbabwe, you're wondering what's going on here. That's what the sense of power is, not hopelessness, because trust me, the one we didn't invade anybody. There's no sense of hopelessness in Congo, all right? But he said powerlessness, that many people are feeling powerlessness. And many people outside the country are feeling a sense of powerlessness because they don't know what they can do. They don't know where to begin because the story has, our situation has been hijacked by so many people, many of them non-Congolese, Eve Esler, Ben Affleck, all these other people. Now, their heart may be in the right place, but at the same time, it's not a common mantra of what's going on. And then Joseph said, what can I do? He's not saying, he understands the role of other people in this, in the situation, but he's asking, what can I do? Not the West needs to do this, Obama needs to do this, Britain needs to do this, or what have you. He's like, what can I, as a Congolese, what can I do for my country? That's the thinking we're talking about. That's how the approach needs to be. And then the approach becomes, what can you do? What can I do? Then it's like, what have you? And that's the thing that comes back to what I said earlier in the previous show, when some members from the FOC have said, when the Congolese start doing this, when the Congolese start doing that. And I say to you again, Franklin Katunda started Congo Boston years ago, before 2004 when FOC came on the scene. You have, my friend, Congo Vision, and Sylvester down there. How long has he been doing this? Long time. Little money, little support. Go to his website, congovision.com, or go to congoboston.com. So when someone comes out and says, when the Congolese need to, that's just the Congolese outside the country. We haven't talked about the Congolese that's holding together in the country. Because if it wasn't for those Congolese, there'd be no Congo. It's not like someone's doing a favor for us. We're the ones that's holding that country together. Now, let's go on to something else here where Jesse Jackson, Brother Kambala, to make this sound, I think it was 2009. Again, I sent faxes and emails to friends of the Congo that was going to do the show. And I asked them questions, wanted to know if they wanted to give me their thoughts. They didn't say anything. They never did. Jesse doesn't stop that. What he has to say. I believe Brother Kambala is asking a question here. Bear with me. Joel, yet? You got it? All right, loop it in.
Is Kambale Musavuli. I'm a civil engineer student here. First, I want to thank you for coming to the Congo in 1996 and meeting with the opposition leaders at the time, and you showed the desire of actually listening to the people. I only have two questions for you. From your visit to the Congo in 1996 and 97 and coming back here to the U.S., why haven't you kept the profile of the Congo up for the Americans to know? Because the same company we're talking about that's doing the things here are the same one exploiting the people in the Congo. And my next question is a proposition of elevating the profile of the Congo, given that now we have 6 million people who are dead since 96 there. I know you have a show on Saturday morning in Chicago, maybe dedicating that to the Congo, or maybe see how your son also can be involved since he has helped with the situation in Liberia, and see how the story of the Congo can be heard, because many people do not know that there is a war there, and you've been at the forefront of it by going there yourself.
You know, we had to raise it. Mr. Kabila, who was president that time, got killed, right?
Yes, yes.
His son succeeded him. And we are profiling. It's just hard to break through that. So much war going on. We're trying our best to end the war, because that cannot be development and war at the same time. I was in the Congo last month, not in the Congo, I was in the Ivory Coast last month, and as was again yesterday, and so we're very much into that. I'm glad you raised it, because it says something about the international consciousness of our campus. Remember, Dr. Prophet came from Africa and had to sit in Nigeria at Peace School and asked about 500 of us, 300 I guess, name 5 African countries, and we couldn't. I mean, we didn't know any better. I mean, our consciousness was just that low. We know better now, I hope. We're growing, we've become more global now. But your being here, and be with some friends other than just your homeboy friends. You know, I mean, share the information, because the Congo is maybe the wealthiest country in all of Africa. Maybe of all of Africa. And so then that was a key really to stability in the whole region. But thank you for raising the point, okay? Thank you, sir.
All right. Now, there's two things that hopefully you can hear the audio. Joella tried to refine it as much as possible. What Kambala's asking about, you've heard the question, and I think hopefully you've heard what he wanted to. And Jesse touched on two things here. He goes, the first thing is, now, the second was that it was said that in the title of that segment that Jesse didn't break the silence. But if you listen to what he's saying, he did. He kind of explains why there's not a lot of activity on the Congo. One, he said there's so much war going on, not just in Congo, but there's so much going on in the news. You have wars all over the place. So you have that congestion of news of what we're going to talk about. That's me. Then it's not about it. All right. But he talked about how there's so much going on. And I think it becomes, when so many things happen, it becomes white noise. It all becomes the same. It's like with the situation in Kosovo where Clinton said people may be suffering from refugee fatigue. All right. Secondly, he talked, I'm hoping you heard this part when he said, when he had traveled to the continent with people, at the time they asked some members to name 5 African countries. And he said they couldn't. And you can kind of hear the group, the audience's reaction to that, like, oh my goodness. They named 5 African countries and they couldn't. You're asking people to get involved in a situation in a region thing of, or doesn't even know what exists. The common reframe now has been Congo is the deadliest conflict since World War II. Maybe the youth today don't know anything about World War II. I teach ninth grade through 12th grade. And again, Hitler came to power. That's how World War I ended. China invaded Germany. These are the answers. You're dealing with the educational system, which ties into a previous show. Many people don't even know their own history. So you compare it to World War II, that's an abstract to them. They don't know anything about World War II. They don't know anything about the Russian death toll or anything like that. So what he was saying is that people couldn't name five African countries. So why would they even care about Congo if they don't know anything about Congo? Because they don't know Congo even exists, which is another article altogether when someone says Congo doesn't exist as a country. But anyways. But the funny thing is to say that Jesse's not breaking the silence, Jesse's actually given some serious insight because I had asked Ed Gordon the same question. Why is it, you know, he's at some NAACP Hollywood event a couple months ago here in Los Angeles. And I asked him after the other show, we was on one-on-one in the corner, and I said, you know, why do you feel that Congo's not getting any press, getting any play in a lot more media than it is right now? Because it was getting some love, but not as much as I felt it should get. And he was saying it's very difficult to decide what's going to open the show, what they're going to speak on, particularly if it's not relative to the interest of the viewer. And he said it might be wrong to say that. It might not be politically correct, but that's just how it is. And we had a great conversation, but I didn't condemn the guy. He's been in the game for a long time. This is Ed Gordon. We had a good conversation about that. Now, the thing, though, about to say Jesse hasn't broken the silence, I remember vividly watching Jesse Jackson on Tavis Smiley's State of the Union live. And they were talking about situations in the black community and what have you. This isn't black or white. It was just something that he was talking to at that time. And he referenced the fact that he said something along the lines of, now look what's going on in the Congo, where at that time I think the death toll was like 4 or 5 million. He goes, we have almost 4 or 5 million Congolese being killed. Now no one else on the audience had picked up what he was on the panel of speakers on the stage picked up on that and carried it with him. But he brought that up he brought up out of nowhere. And he said, well, what's going on? Why are we not talking about that? What's going on? This was about 2 years ago. Two and a half years ago. We'll see if we can find the clip for next show. So to say Jesse Jackson is not breaking the silence is to say that it's not knowing the repertoire of some of these people that you're saying aren't saying anything. Jesse has spoken. John, you know, I've tried to grasp him enough. I've seen him speak on Rwanda. I've seen him speak on Uganda. I've seen him talk about the minerals. I've seen a few things. Yes, people may have issues with him. If we have everybody has issues with somebody. But when it step back, if it raises the profile of the country, that's all. I'm for that. But if it's at the expense of the Congolese, I'm not. So again, you heard Joseph speaking, talking about powerlessness. You heard the other brother speaking, talking about the fact of the NGOs. We have to stop looking at the West. It's like when it comes to Kagame in Rwanda. I always say this. He's quick to blame the United States for not coming there to stop the genocide, even though everybody knows there was troops, American troops in Burundi. But the thing is, why is he not saying anything but Burundi coming to stop the war? Uganda stopping the war. Tanzania stopping the genocide. Kenya stopping the genocide. Why? He's talking about being free, but he's blaming the West. But he's not blaming South Africans. Someone asked about the African Union, please. They were a joke when they were organized of African states. They're a joke that they're African Union. We wouldn't have waste our time with those, all right? So let's take a quick little break here. We'll come back with a few announcements. We'll come to some questions now, and then we only have 11 minutes left. One question is, what do you feel about Raise Hope for Congo? I have no problem for them. The only issue with them is that they have that sad-looking Congolese woman on the page with them. Right with the Raise Hope, she's looking all sad and depressed, and I don't know any Congolese women that like that. But I have no problem with them. You know, there's certain strategy that things should be a little different, as I think they see myself or some Congolese may feel about me or what have you. But, you know, I can't be worried if someone's not doing advocacy the way I think they should do it. I know my brother's one of their speakers on their speakers tour, and he's been all over the place and things like that. And I know they have something coming up at Harvard University in the near future. So I really have no feeling. You know, I've had my conversations with them. So I have nothing negative. I mean, like I said, their strategy is a little different from what I would do it. But if it's bringing awareness to Congo, no problem. Another question here is, what do you think of Ben Affleck's nonprofit? Well, I said on the earlier show, if that's what's in Ben's heart, fine. But I think, you know, this is the same Ben who wrote an op-ed in Time magazine supporting Laurent Nkunda Sam Kunda has some valid points. And if you look at the, go to Ben Affleck's webpage for his Eastern Congo Initiative and go look at the About Us and see who he's getting support from. And then let me know how many Congolese you see are part of that initiative. All right? Again, as our brother earlier has spoken so eloquently about the NGOs, they're the issue. You know, his name was Petna Ndaliku said, the NGOs are a problem. Why are we making grants to a country that's one of the richest in the world? Ask yourself. That ties into what Brother Joseph Mbongo said. It's creating a sense of dependency. Hey, let's apply for a $1,000 grant from Ben Affleck in California or New York when they're standing over $40 million in diamonds under their feet. All right? So that explains that. Another question here is, are you worried the FOC won't work with you in the future? No. I don't think about that. You know, I've been doing this, and I just really, you know, people that know what I do know what I do. I've been doing this. My family's been involved in this struggle for over 100 years. So I don't worry about who will invite me here and who won't invite me there. The only thing I'm concerned about is Congo being the way I remember it being when I was growing up back home. I think a lot of people are surprised to find out I was actually born in Kinshasa. So I'm not worried about if they don't want to work with me in the future, it's up to them. I've been doing a memorial for Congo since 2000, 2001. We were in New York last year. I didn't see anybody from that organization there. I didn't see any words, letters of support. But did it bother me? No. I was happy to see Dave Donaldson, who wrote a great book, Heart of Diamonds. Go check him out, heartofdiamonds.com. He was there in Tumba. Kami Mukeng. I always get her last name. She gets me because she has so many different names. She goes by Ntumba and Tumba. Kami came down from Ntumba and Tumba. She has her love talks. She was there. I'm not worried about it. If FOC wants to work with me in the future, fine. If not, I do what I do. I'll be doing a memorial now. I'll be doing it next year. I don't think about worrying about people's feelings and who may not invite me to speak. I worry about the Congo and the Congolese. That's all I'm concerned about. Another question here is, why do you think a military solution is viable? It's a military solution in terms of an invasion. A strong military would have prevented all this what's happening in Congo now. A strong military that's paid and not made to ravage off the country and the population and isn't forced to accept rebels and militias who they were fighting not but the day earlier will bring a resolution to what's going on in Congo, case closed. You know, no one would even, if you even looked at Congo wrong, they'd come get you back in the day when it was Zaire. So a military option is viable. You have a strong army. You can defeat the military of Rwanda. Their military is only so big. I'm going to tell you right now, the threat of Congolese soldiers marching into Rwanda is something that I'm sure Kagame doesn't want to think about. So for someone to say that they don't believe in a military solution, they don't have their families being dragged out of the house and being raped, and they don't have their house being burned down so they can move them off so they can get the minerals. You know. So, again, it's very easy to say those kind of things when you're in the United States. When it's your family being, you know, waylaid and drowned in Kivu and burnt alive, that's a little different. But again, that's my opinion. We have time for one more question. Let's see. Thank you, Joella. Do you have any events coming up? Yes, we do. We have a few things coming up this in the next couple of months. And for the sake of time, so I do want to get to these announcements. I have two I'd like to make here. Just, you know, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. If you're listening now, you can find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Saeed Devinga, or you can find me on Twitter, same thing. So we do have some things coming up. And speaking of upcoming events, we have two I'd like to announce. The first one we have here is going to take place, and I have a little amount of time here. It's going to take place, the African American Studies Program of Frostburg State University will present Democracy and DRC Congo, Hopes, Expectations, and Realities. What the international community can do. It's going to be a lecture presented by Vemba Desolele on Monday, on Monday, April 12th at 6:30 p.m. in room 226 of the Compton Science Center. The event is free and open to the public. Again, it's a lecture entitled Democracy and DRC Congo, Hopes, Expectations, and Realities, What the International Community Can Do. And the lecture is presented by the Congolese Mvemba Fezo Desolele on Monday, April 12th at 6:30 p.m. in room 226 of the Compton Science Center. The event is free and open to the public, and this is presented by the African American Studies Program at Frostburg State University, and they are located in Florida And if you have any more questions about this, you can contact Dr. Alan Abay, if I'm reading that right. His number is 301-687-4228, 301-687-4228. Another announcement we have here is that the organization Leja Bolela is having their annual conference in Florida, Miami, from July 2nd to the 5th. It's reference to the inspiring action among the next generation. It'll be taking place. The host hotel is the Marriott Courtyard. You can find Leja Bolela on Facebook, or you can go to their website, lejabolela.org. That's L-E-J-A, B as in Bob, U-L-E-L-A.org. Again, their annual conference is taking place in Miami. They are leading the initiative to build the Leja Bolela Health Clinic in Bujimai. You see, they know the West is a problem, but at the same time, they know it's up to them. As Joseph Mbango said, what can I do? Leja Bolela has been doing it. The Molokai group's been doing it. And they're going to have a panel. Panels include on solar energy and water installation projects. They have a panel on Congo's 50 years of after independence. Another panel featuring Congolese social entrepreneurs based in the United States. A gala dinner followed by film, culture, language class for youth, because they made sure to teach Chiluba to the youth there. It's a great event. Check them out. Lejabulela.org, L-E-J-A-B-U-L-E-L-A.org, or you can find them on Facebook. Leja Bolela. All right, so people, in our remaining time we have here, 3 minutes, let's close out the show. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm sure you have your own thoughts about FOC, Friends of the Congo. I hope I've given you a well-balanced show here, giving you some thoughts here. Some of the audio you heard was actually from their events that I believe they were co-sponsoring. But we have to remember, there are Congolese out there doing things. You know, you have Amini Kanjunju in New York. I believe she's a CEO or executive director for WIBO, W-I-B-O, in New York doing things. We're out there doing things. When someone comes up there and says, when the Congolese start doing this, you need to ask them to give you an example of what they're talking about, because we are out there, have been out there, and we'll continue to be out there. And what's happening now is you're seeing a lot of us through technology linking together to find what we're doing, how we can support each other. I'm doing the film, Once Upon a Time in the Congo. You know, I'm basically funding the whole thing, except for the first episode we shot, which was funded by some good friends of mine in Oakland, Sacramento, things like that. But we have to link together, work together, and find out who and how we can support each other. You know, you have Kami McKendy doing her thing. You have Sylvester doing his thing. You have Noella doing her thing with George Maleka. You have Lukusa Raja doing EduCongo. You know, educongo.org, they're doing their thing, building schools and back home in DRC. We can't, those are the people that need to be on the news, and those are the people we need to speak about. We can't act like we're in a bubble doing nothing. We can't have people think we're doing nothing. There are so many of us doing things that it's ridiculous to say once the Congolese have been doing it. The fact that they're doing it without someone's approval just pisses off some people. But whatever. Anyways, we have 2 minutes left. People, thanks for tuning in. Much love. Let's take it out. Let's go a little... Tupac, can you give me a little love as we walk out of here and do what we can do, all right? People, take it one day at a time. It'll bring us one day closer to our salvation. I'm gone.
Settle down in a set of straight. Maybe we can learn to take a second to pump the brakes before we set it to grass. later and let it escalate. Cause by then it's just too late. There's so much we can take, and there's only so much someone can swallow or tolerate. To the point that he just breaks, snaps, and that's all it takes. You think that we was learning from other rappers' mistakes, but we ain't. It's brain to go again. With every art comes an image he portrays in a picture that he paints. But in the midst of all this anger and his pain, never once did you hear me say I'm a pimp, and I ain't hear no complaints. But I know that I will always continue to grow, long as I lead and never follow no one else's shadow. There will never be another me, and that I can guarantee. That's why the fuck I remain sucker free to this day. The game will never be the same, no matter how much fame or success they attain. There will never be another me, and no matter what they do, there will never be another you. You can search, but you'll never find. You can try to rewind time, but in your hearts and your minds, we will never die. We are forever alive, and we continue growing. One day at a time. Don't get caught in the publicity and caught in the hype. Rappers are regular people minus money and light. Searching for fortune and fame and superstardom. All the jury, all the calls, whose crews are hardest. Not a hip-hop police, surveillance is watching. And the kids think we is their only option. Outlaws.
Hold on. People, we're going to take this off the air. We have to go old school because Joella's begging me for to mix in this cut here that she put together. So let's take it old school, because we're already show our show's already finished. We did our Friends of the Congo, Are They Really Part 2. We have our 50 Years of Independence coming up. So let's take a little old school here, because she's rocking the Tupac, but she's like, can she hear this old cut she just weaved in? So let's do this. We're on air. Let's have a little concert here, a little back in the day. Let's dedicate this to all my Congolese out there doing what they do. Let's go back to the day.
Sangui Pumba, il est toujours difficile d'être aimé que d'aimer. nalobaki na yo okoma kopo na ngai likolo ya zelo te mama surtout ntango mbonge ezali koya koma yango likolo ya libanga ata ba martin pecher bakoya kotanga oyebi bieke mama ngai nazali mbisi ya solo nalula mai kasi oya moto nalingaka te mabuku na ngai osalaki mobulu lokola mwana nyonso akosalaka na ndako ya tata na mama kasi naboyaka yo te epai oke lakisa ye fidelité chéri osala ye ndenge osali ngai te nde ozwi bomeni nazali kobanga noki aboya yo okoya kotelenga na pamba ekosala ngai pasi oyebi ke nalingaki yo mingi okolela masumu na yo nabui osima ngai na nzoto maboko na yo matondi makila makila ya motema na ngai ozokisi otubi ngai ne likonga e kende basukola yo maboko e epai ya sango na obelito mama
Good night.